This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to have a great show. We're going to have one of our regulars on, Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a Dice company. You can find their website at ClearanceJobs.com. You can find Dice.com. But they're an employment site that focuses in on the cleared community, those who have top secret clearances, everything down from that all the way down to confidential clearances. And if you have one of those clearances, their government agencies as well as government contractors who are on the site and looking for people who can fill any kind of job, everything from administrative all the way to IT type jobs and everything in between, intelligence and everything else. Evan, welcome back to Fed Access.
Thanks so much, Derek. Good to talk to you.
Always. Hey, you know, we got this whole thing about sequestration going on, and it's the news cycle every day about what's happening with the government, furloughs, budget cuts and everything else. I mean, you're hearing it from the hiring side without question, and I'm sure you're probably getting calls from both sides, the employers as well as those who are trying to get hired or those who are working who are concerned about their future. What are you hearing, Evan? What's going on with the sequestration and everything else?
Well, you know, I think there's two key things to touch on. The first is that, you know, even though the stock market has hit some all-time highs, and people are saying, I know that the unemployment rate dropped as well, but the news pundits are saying, well, you know, sequestration doesn't look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Things are actually looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think only when the furloughs kick in are we going to really start seeing an impact on the economy. When people are bringing home less take-home pay, when they're spending less due to that, that is when we're going to start seeing some of the shifts in the marketplace. So that's really the first thing that's going on. The second thing is that, you know, lawmakers are hoping to avoid any furloughs by trying to get some type of a budget deal done between Congress and the president. But what I can tell you is that candidates have come to us and said that furloughs have already started. We have plenty of cleared candidates, both in the D.C. region as well as outside, who have already said to us they've already taken their first furlough day. They've already received notice of an upcoming furlough. Furloughs are going to start the first week of April. So it's already in the works. It's already happening. And I think the impact of the sequester is really yet to be seen.
Wow. You know, touching on those different areas, and you're right. I mean, the stock market has been high. So if you're starting to look at the economic indicators, it seems as if, everything is going okay. But you're right. I mean, a lot of people there has not been this massive amount of furloughs and everything else. As it's starting to happen, as you're starting to hear from candidates that it is happening, is it going to impact the major areas like D.C., New York, I mean, where this major body of federal employees are at? Are we talking about kind of a nationwide scenario where, you know, both where their bases and even in places, you know, Colorado and everything else, is it going to start impacting, you know, nationwide, or is it just going to be the areas where it's a consolidation of federal workers?
It's definitely going to be nationwide.
Okay.
The candidates that we talk to come from all 50 states, and some of them are located overseas. But just to give you kind of an anecdotal story of how this is a nationwide thing, one of the stories I was relayed to yesterday came directly from one of my employees who lives and works in the Des Moines, Iowa area. And her husband works for the Des Moines Air National Guard, and their entire section had just been reduced as far as the scope of their mission. So this is
wow.
Someone who had a pretty regular full-time job. And then was part of the Air National Guard and is now, you know, seeing reduced hours and reduced mission. So this is not just a D.C. thing. This is definitely something that's going to be felt nationwide.
Right. You know, when you hear from candidates and now, you know, as like you're saying, people are starting to really kind of see the impact of these furloughs. I mean, what's some of your best advice? Is it kind of like a ride out scenario? Or are you hearing about candidates who are saying, listen, I need to start taking a look at the private sector because it's like there's more hiring going on there? I mean, you know, what are you hearing? And even what are you advising?
Well, you know, I think for candidates in the industries of defense, homeland security, and intelligence who have security clearance, you know, they know that that clearance can still command a higher salary, higher compensation than someone who does not have it. So those people do want to stay in this industry. It's not like they're going to go ahead and try to jump out, you know, as difficult as those industries are feeling it right now. You know, unemployment is still above 7%, and it's not easy out there. So
right.
I think most candidates would rather have to deal with some days of furloughs rather than switch and have to try to find a new job entirely. The figures are that the sequester could cost about 750,000 jobs nationwide in the next year, with a good 100,000 of those coming from the D.C. area. So there's really going to be a lot of impact as far as what people can and should do. You know, if there was ever a time to get online and work through your resume, work through your contacts, continue networking, you know, now is surely the time to do it.
You know, with all of that, are there some, and kind of maybe taking a look at it, are there some agencies who are more immune from the sequestration than other agencies? You know, is there a safe zone in here, Evan? I mean, are you hearing some agencies say, hey, listen, we already got our budget aligned. We're good to go for right now. We're not worried about this.
Well, I think as far as safer agencies go, I don't think any agency is completely safe. But
mm-hmm.
a safer agency would be any of the intelligence agencies,
okay.
CIA, FBI, NSA. Those folks seem to have their budgets, you know, a little bit less under scrutiny. You know, they're definitely not as nearly as publicly available as the Pentagon's budget. So I think the intel agencies' job prospects are going to be a lot more secure, obviously, than working for the DOD.
Right.
Within both the contracting world and civil service, there are some areas that are still showing six-figure salaries, that are still in demand, and places where furloughs are going to be less likely to happen. And essentially, those are cybersecurity, systems engineering, and software development.
Okay. You know, with that being the case, and you kind of mentioned about intelligence and the cyber dynamic, what about the defense contractors? I mean, are the contractors in those areas as well? You know, what do you, you know, you kind of hear from federal agencies about the furloughs, but I've heard from some contractors, hey, listen, that they've already given us notice about certain things. Are the defense contractors are more immune in the intelligence community than they would be maybe kind of in building aircrafts or building weapon systems? Or are you hearing from the contractors that it's also a massive dynamic of kind of layoffs or furloughs?
Well, you know, there have been some layoffs in the contracting community, not a huge number, but enough to have some manner of impact. I think you can look at some of the stock prices and what have happened to some of the Fortune 500 defense companies, and you can kind of get an idea for where things are heading. That said, you know, these companies are large, and they're divested well, and I think that, you know, they're trying to focus on the areas where they know that there is still government budget dollars to go around. And again, that's going to be intelligence jobs and, you know, cybersecurity.
Right.
But that said, what we have heard from contracting companies is that contracts that they've already been awarded are taking longer to receive funding for. They're receiving fewer RFPs. You know, it's definitely slowed down to the point that they're feeling it.
You know, with that being the case, Evan, and we gotta take a quick break, so I want to talk about this as we kind of come back. You know, there was a push for small businesses and you know, either minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses to start getting contracts. Are you seeing kind of a, you know, is that push still there? Has there been a major slowdown on that as well? Would that initiative pick back up once we get past sequestration? I want to talk about that and the impact on kind of the small business market, or veteran-owned businesses, whatever, in terms of government contracting when we come back. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lester. He's the director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a job site that if you have a clearance, you know, and whether you work for the federal government or whether you are a contractor, if you have a clearance, it's a site you should be on because it's helpful for networking. It's helpful for finding new positions within government and also within the contract community, ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about what's going on in the cleared market and how sequestration is impacting, but also what's the state of hiring. And then also some new things that are going to be coming out in the near future on ClearanceJobs.com. You may want to hear about. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about what's going on with the state of hiring, especially in the CLEAR community, how sequestration is having an impact. But honestly, also, what's going to happen after sequestration's open? What's going to be the state of hiring? Are there going to be some good news or bad news? We're going to get some data. We're talking to one of our good friends on Fed Access, Evan Lester. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com, and he's giving us a rundown on what's happening out there. Evan, you know, I mentioned as we were kind of, you know, clearing the first segment about small businesses, and there was a push. I think you probably saw that too, a push for more medium and small business contracts among DOD and other agencies. How are they being impacted right now?
Well, Derek, you know, there are a lot of those companies out there, you know, very small, anywhere from 20, 50, 100 employers, and whether they're veteran-owned or Native American-owned or owned by women, you know, these are companies that have been given some good breaks with regards to getting some government subcontracts in defense, homeland security, and intelligence. And you know, they've come to us recently, and you know, by law, they are going to get a certain percentage of the contracts that are out there, mm-hmm. You know, acting as a subcontractor. So they are protected in the fact that you know, anytime a large contract is bid upon, the prime usually has to bring in a few of those smaller type of companies. The problem that they're telling us is that, you know, they can't get funds for those contracts that they've been placed on until the prime gets it. And if okay. the prime has delays in getting funding from the government, then it's just going to trickle down to the smaller subcontractors as well.
Wow. And so basically with a small, especially for a smaller company versus a bigger company who has maybe money that they can, you know, hold out for months and this, that, and the other, the smaller contractors or, you know, they don't have the same kind of assets that they can maybe hold out or same kind a credit line sometime that they can hold out for a longest period, you know, extended period of time. Is that what are you hearing, that some are concerning about folding, or that they're, you know, really concerned about having to let a lot of people go from their firm?
Definitely. And I think one of the key things that we've been hearing from the smaller contracting companies are directly from the employees of those companies. And they've been told that, you know, hiring is slowing down, that they're being tasked to do more with less. People are taking on additional responsibilities. And, you know, that definitely has an impact on employee morale, lower salary increases, if at all an increase. So, you know, these small companies are great places to work. But the employees are really being pushed to some of their limits. Hopefully, at some point in the near future, some of the funding will get released again, and these companies will be back in business.
I hope so. You know, Evan, you told me about some data that you guys have been compiling at Clearance Jobs. What's the new data? I know you guys compile a lot of data, like salary surveys and everything else. What's the new data set that you have and that can give us some insight on what's going on?
Well, you know, annually we put together a survey where we talk to cleared professionals, cleared workers all over the country, all over the world, obviously all U.S. citizens. And these folks give us their thoughts on not just salary, base salary and compensation, but also things like job satisfaction and salary satisfaction and what certifications they're leaning towards, which jobs they're leaning towards. And you know, we've gotten a lot of data back back, and I think about 3 weeks ago we came out with the 2013 results of our comp survey, and what we found out is that for the first time in our history of running this survey, which we've been doing since 2006, we found that the average total compensation and base salaries both decreased, and that's really the first time we've seen a decrease year over year for both of those.
So we're talking about a decrease, and I mean, what are the numbers showing? Are we talking about major decreases, or are we talking about kind of small, you know, small changes? Are we talking about kind of, impacts on $20,000 or things like that? What are we showing?
Well, you know, for a base salary, in the past 12 months, cleared candidates were reporting about $75,200 as an average base salary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to last year, it was $76,000 and some change. It's only a 1.2% decrease. When you talk about total compensation, which is kind of everything above base salary, additional forms of compensation, danger pay, things of that nature, you get up to a total average compensation of a little over $88,000 versus about $91,000 last year. It's a 2.7% difference, a decrease. But what's important to remember is that, you know, 1, 2, 3% may not seem like a whole lot, but this is an industry where we've seen consistently, at least over the past 6 or 7 years, gains of anywhere from 2 to 6 or 7%. So to actually go back is something that's pretty unique and different for this industry.
Wow. You know, I mean, that is a lot of some major things that are happening in this industry without question. Evan, we got to take a quick break. I want to kind of go into the data a little bit more about what you're seeing about these drops, what's the impact on it, and where is it coming from, you know, and everything else. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about the state of the market right now with sequestration going on. What's the state of federal jobs? What's the state of government contracting jobs? We're going to talk about where the hiring is going to come after the sequestration is over. We're going to also talk about some new things that are going on with ClearanceJobs.com when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the state of federal hiring, the state of government contracting hiring, and we're talking about it, especially for the cleared community. We're talking to the director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com, Evan Lesser. He's on the line with me right now. We've been having an interesting conversation about what's going on and what you need to know about this market right now. Evan, you were talking about these surveys and the data that you were getting in, and it seems kind of startling, but maybe an area of concern for some people who, you know, where the market for the cleared community was always going up. I mean, every year for a long period of time, for the past maybe 10 years or so, salaries just kept on bumping up. And now we're starting to see a little stabilization and some dropping points. Is it across the board or is it in certain areas?
You know, for the most part, it's across the board.
Okay.
There are a few bright spots for cleared workers, cybersecurity, software engineering, systems engineering,
mm-hmm.
program management. Those are areas that are usually six-figure salaries and have actually been on the increase. But for the rest of the cleared workforce, there definitely have been decreases.
Wow.
One of the key points that we've pulled out is the fact that workers that are new to a company got paid 8% less in 2012 than they did in 2011. So if you're starting at a company brand new, you're getting 8% less than you did. And that is something that is a pretty radical change for this industry. We found that military service members reported a 5% decrease in total compensation. You know, certain markets in the United States that are actually pretty strong for defense saw some huge declines. Florida and California were two where we saw total compensation and base salaries drop considerably, and those are places that have often been in the top 10. So it really is a definitely interesting and unique time for what's going on.
You know, two things from that. Is it because an oversaturation of the clear community? I mean, now you just have a large number of people with clearances out there, so employers can be a little bit more picky. They don't have to pay as much anymore. And then two, do you think that this is, you know, as maybe the private sector, and of course it hasn't bounced back completely yet, but maybe a few years down the line, as the private sector begins bouncing back, do you see a possible impact on maybe a number of people going to the private sector, and you don't have enough cleared workers in the community because of what's happening right now? I'm thinking kind of long term.
Well, you know, I think those are good questions. And one of the things to keep in mind is that I think the overall talent pool of cleared individuals who are career-minded, you know, they're ready to go to work, whether they're actively searching for a new job or kind of passively considering opportunities. The total number of those people is really not too terribly large.
Okay.
When you get down into some of the specific requirements where you've got a clearance requirement, you've got a certification requirement, plus technical skills, you know, you get into a really incredibly niche audience of people. But, you know, at the same time, you know, this is an industry where in the past the total number of people has been even smaller. And now you've got people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, troop withdrawals that are really increasing the number of cleared people. You've got furloughs happening, which are making people starting to wonder if they need to get out in the job market more. So we've seen a really large number of candidates coming to us over the past few months as a result of everything that's going on. But it's still not a huge community. It's still not a place where employers truly have their pick of candidates. What I can tell you, though, is that employers have noticed the increased numbers, and I think that is why we've seen compensation drop, and that's why we've seen workers who come into a company brand new get 8% less in the past year than they did the previous year. Before, job seekers were in control of compensation.
Mm-hmm.
They could really demand what they wanted to. Now employers are back in control.
Wow. Are we still seeing a dynamic of negotiations, or is it a situation where, you know, if you get that offer, what has been given to you is not going to be too, there's not going to be too much room to negotiate? I mean, what are you hearing on that?
That's right. I think the amount of wiggle room is definitely down. The amount of negotiations back forth is really down. Candidates are reporting, you know, low to almost no incentives to sign on with a company, things that were pretty common not too terribly long ago.
Right.
You know, one of the other trends that we've been noticing is that pay increases have actually been trending down. So more people are getting fewer, more people are getting less increases in pay than they were previously, and fewer people are getting the higher increases in pay. So as an example, in 2011, we actually reported that about 14% of the folks that took our survey with clearances were getting a 5% or more pay increase. That's down to 12%. And, you know, on the flip side, people who got smaller increases in compensation is actually on the increase. So, you know, it really is showing a shift in the atmosphere where the employers are in a lot more control than they were in the past.
Do you think that this is going to have a major impact? And I'm kind of even thinking about the private sector, where we've been hearing these stories about some companies who are now canceling telework and, you know, working from home and other things like that. I mean, are we seeing this shift of the employer now being a lot more in control? And then with all of that, because you're hearing from the candidates, are we also seeing a concern about maybe morale? I mean, you know, in terms of the workforce, if people feel like they're not being compensated fairly, or people feel like they cannot get raised for performances, performance, then, you know, what is that? What's the impact?
You know, one of the things that we kind of take a look at along those lines is, you know, what are the compensation changes for people with different clearances? And based on the clearance, we can obviously tell which agency they work for. So, you know, we track DOD, we track DHS, we track the intel agencies. And, you know, talking about morale, DHS is a great example of where there have been some extreme shifts. We saw total compensation for workers in the Department of Homeland Security, whether they be government employees or contractors, drop by 12% in the past year.
Hmm.
And that is just a huge
number. That's a huge drop, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Something we really have not seen too much before. But if you take a close look at it, DHS workers reported, base pay decreases of 6% and total compensation decreases of 12%. You know, there have been articles in the past few months that talk about low morale at DHS. DHS ranks, 31st out of 33 best places to work in government. And, just in the last day or two, there have been notices about 60,000 furloughs coming to Customs and Border Patrol agents. So, that type of thing all snowballs together. And when you get lower pay, lower compensation, it really can harm the morale of the workers of an agency.
That's really kind of scary to me, Evan, as I hear that, because, these are some like our frontline workers who are putting their lives on the line, who are doing analysis and everything else. And if they feel like they're not being compensated fairly, if they feel like and the morale is going low with some of our key component, our protection type agencies, then that's probably something that the higher ups need to take a look at.
Very much so. And, if you kind of break down the data and get into it a lot more closely, in previous years, we found that the people who were making more were more likely to change jobs. What we found this go around is that the people who are making less at the lower quintiles of compensation and base pay are the ones who are more likely to leave. Some of the lowest paid cleared workers, about 68% of the very, very lowest paid workers said that they're either likely or very likely to change jobs in the next 12 months. You think about the types of positions that these folks are filling, and they may be a little bit easier to get folks back in if someone leaves. But just the sheer movement of people from one agency to another or from one contractor to another is just incredibly disruptive for the mission of whatever that agency or contractor is.
Yeah, that's without question. Were there any other startling things that you saw out of the data, the survey?
Well, if you want to talk about DC Metro, there's definitely some interesting things that kind of pop
up. Yeah, break it
there.
Down real quick. Yeah.
One of the things that we found is that in previous years, Fairfax County had a fairly large pay gap between Arlington and Fairfax with regards to total compensation. In 2011, there was a 12% pay gap between Fairfax and Arlington. That gap is actually closed back. Arlington had some really strong gains in both base and total compensation. Fairfax had gains as well, but not nearly as much as Arlington did. And we've seen the pay gap between those two counties drop to only 1%. Still in favor of Fairfax, but it went from 12 down to 1% within a year, which is quite a lot of movement, more than we've seen in the past. Now, both Fairfax and Arlington have average total compensation of six figures, mm-hmm. $106,000, $107,000. So the pay is still up there, but it was very interesting to see Arlington come back from a pretty large gap previously.
Is that because of BRAC or there's some moves? Or, what do you kind of, can you read in the data and kind of see why that is?
I don't have really concrete numbers to figure out exactly why the change has been made and, mm-hmm. and why people in Arlington are getting paid more. I would bet that you could drill down a bit, and a lot of it would be due to location. I think the effect of BRAC is gone at this point.
Okay.
There are already discussions about the next round of BRAC, and
right.
I think in budget cut time, it's not surprising it's come back up. But there are a lot of interesting kind of tidbits to pull out of D.C. and kind of make what you will of them. We found out about 21% of D.C. workers who do telecommute rank it as their number one benefit.
Okay.
And, that speaks a lot for the region. We saw that Metro D.C. workers, on average, have actually seen their work hours come down in the past year. About 43 hours was the reported average, down from 53 in the past year.
So there's some quality of life stuff that's going on that's good.
You would think it's good, but who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
D.C. area is still the the strongest market in the country, especially compared to what's going on in some other states that have really felt the pinch.
Right.
But it really is interesting to see what's been moving.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Evan about what's going on in terms of what can we see and possibly hopefully predict in terms of the state of hiring. When sequestration is over, and hopefully will be soon, but it's not a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when. We don't know when. But what's going to happen in the state of hiring? Where can we predict that there will be some good hiring at? And then also talk about what's going on with ClearanceJobs.com in terms of some new things they have that will help the job seeker in terms of networking and also getting some good jobs. We're talking to Evan Lester. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're having an interesting show about the state of the job market right now, especially in the CLEAR community. We're talking to one of our good friends on Fed Access, Evan Lester. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a great site for employee and people who are trying to get a job, and you have a clearance, you're trying to get a job in the CLEAR community, whether it be a government agency or whether it be a government contractor, and it has a number of networking tools, a number of tools to help you get hired with any of these agencies or government contractors. Evan, in terms of kind of the state of hiring, you know, when sequestration is over and looking at maybe the numbers or budgets or maybe looking at the priorities of the nation, where can we predict some of the hiring is going to be?
Well, you know, I think at a high level, one of the things to take a look at is what's been going on with clearance processing times. Regardless of the job, that's something that has always been a worry for employers. And I'm happy to say that over the past few years, clearance processing times have gotten better. And in fact, over the past year, they've kind of leveled out with about 55% of people who have talked to us have gotten their clearance within 4 months.
Okay.
So that's something that has always been a big factor for employers. That said,
that's kind of from beginning, you know, person who has zero and then getting their clearance in about 4 months, right?
That's right.
Okay.
We're talking, you know, generally a secret level. Obviously, the higher the clearance, the longer it's going to take. The number of people that are reporting, you know, the extreme anomalies of 12 months or more is down to about 10%. So clearance processing times is something that's has a lot of impact over hiring, and thankfully that has come down. You know, with all the doom and gloom, there are some bright spots. You know, I'm always talking about cybersecurity, and that's still, without a doubt, one of the bright spots. Total compensation nationwide on average for people with a cybersecurity background and a clearance is a little over $101,000 a year. So it's still extremely highly paid. There are still really not a whole lot of people who have the expertise plus the certification plus the clearance. So that is truly a bright spot for this industry. You know, something for employers to keep in mind is the fact that cybersecurity, as hot as it is, the candidates have come to us, and about 36% who are in cyber said yes, they're very likely to change jobs in the next year.
Hmm.
This is one pocket where, you know, job seekers still have some control over compensation and what they get paid, and you know, they know that they can switch jobs and get an increase at the same time.
You know, Evan, let me ask a question. Let me interject real quick. I mean, is that because of the age of the workers, where you have more younger workers who are not tied into either an agency or a company, or is this really just across the board, no matter what the maturity level or age level, where people are saying it's more right now about the dollar? It's not about necessarily a loyalty, or I'm trying to get into the federal government. I mean, what is that? What do those numbers break out to be?
Well, you know, you'd initially think that if someone is very likely to change jobs, that they would not be happy with their job or their pay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here. You know, we found that 64% of respondents in cyber work said that they were satisfied with their jobs, and 59% said that they are satisfied with their salaries. Definitely higher than people who are not in the cybersecurity world. So these are people that are happy with their jobs, happy with their salaries, but they're moving jobs, likely to move jobs anyway.
Okay.
And you know, the reason is simple: supply and demand. If someone can move to another job and receive higher pay and really not have a whole lot of struggle in doing so,
mm-hmm.
It's something that's going to happen.
Right.
So it's definitely a seller's market in this case.
So really the cyber, in terms of the people who are recruiting for that, they're having a hard time. You're starting to see more benefits and more incentives that are coming in the cyber community than any other community.
Without a doubt. And, there were some other bright spots as well. Software engineering, systems engineering, project management, those are three areas that are all nationwide, 100K plus average total
mm-hmm.
compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have similar characteristics to cyber workers in the fact that they're generally happy with their pay, generally happy with their jobs, but they're still extremely interested in looking for different opportunities in the coming year.
What about anybody in terms of more like is Intel? I mean, are you still getting that level of intelligence, or are we really kind of talk about the dynamics right now is really the people who have very, very technical backgrounds? I mean, it's the days in which people who are just trying to get into a more of administration or, even a budget side or finance side and got a clearance. Are those kind of jobs kind of weak right now?
Some are weak, some are not. If you drill down into the data and take a look a little bit more closely, we found that, as an example, jobs in intelligence are actually getting paid more over the past year than they were previously. Candidates in Intel reported, about a 3.6% increase in base pay and about a 2.2% increase in total compensation. Again, 2.2 increase in total compensation doesn't sound like a whole lot, but if you look at some of the other areas, like you mentioned, finance, those folks reported a 4.5% decrease in compensation. People in logistics reported only a 1% increase in total compensation. Some of the folks who were doing administrative work reported a whopping 16% decrease in total compensation. So, yeah, there are definitely areas within the cleared community where pay is increasing, just maybe not at the rates they've been used to.
Right. Talk to us real quick. We only got about a minute or so. Talk to us about what's going on with clearancejobs.com. What's the new stuff?
Well, when you have so many additional candidates out there looking for jobs and trying to network and keep their eyes open, one of the things that we've tried really hard to push and have accomplished on our service is trying to get people beyond the standard resume. If you look at the old standard, two-page resume, it's stale. It's static. It really doesn't tell a whole lot about a candidate's career goals and motivations and what drives them. And that kind of stuff is extremely important for an employer in order to hire the right person who's going to fit well within their organization. So we've kind of taken the steps to flesh out resumes into full 3D profiles where an employer can really learn about a candidate's motivations and about their personality and what type of workplace they like and what type of work and home life balance they prefer. And that type of information, again, is really critical for a good hire.
Right, right. I want to talk about that. We kind of run out of time, but I'm going to have you come back, Evan, maybe a month or two, to talk a little bit more about that as that program is fleshing out, as you're starting to see what's going on with candidates and also the employers and how they're using it. And I wanted to definitely get some updates on what's happening with that and some of the definitely exciting things you guys are doing at clearancejobs.com. Thank you so much, Evan, for all your time and for all your insight.
Derek, good to talk to you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.